you're a professional bodybuilder, right? You got into, you're an IFBB pro?
Correct. I am.
Okay.
Pro.
Okay. And you won, you were the first, you won the Masters in 2017, correct?
Yes. In 2017, okay. I won the, Arnold Classic Masters.
That's a big deal.
I took second in it. Yeah, I took That's second a huge in it. Deal. I actually was the first American to ever win it.
Yeah.
And the oldest, I won it at 46.
Okay.
Yeah. And at the time, we thought that they were giving pro cards away, but it was an international show.
Okay.
And they weren't giving pro cards to Americans. I was a little disappointed, but
That's crazy.
I was able to break some records that day, but thank God I was able to get my pro card a couple of months later at the North American.
So were Americans not necessarily favored at that show as far as winning goes?
When you could win, okay. But you couldn't earn your pro card. It was just for international competitors only, which is really weird because
that's weird.
Columbus,
yeah.
Ohio.
That's crazy. But I didn't know that.
After that happened to me, mm-hmm. they changed the rules right after that. And now, in the Arnold, if you win the overall, you can get your pro card.
Okay. Cause it seems like it's surprising to me cause, you know, in America it's huge. I mean, bodybuilding's a staple, you know, it's a big sport. So it's funny. I've never knew that was a thing, you know, but I guess internationally, do you think there's a lot of strong international competitors nowadays with
the Mr. Olympia and everything? The table has certainly turned in the last probably 3 to 4 years. Mm-hmm. Japan has a strong presence now, even in 212 men's physique.
Okay.
Yeah, Mexico, Poland has a lot of bodybuilders.
Really?
Yes. As a matter of fact, the Tampa Pro this year in August, the amateur show is actually an international show. So that's exciting.
Oh, wow. Okay.
Yes.
Are you training some people for those shows currently?
I am. Right now, okay. I have 11 people prepping for the Tampa Pro, including myself.
Oh, congrats. Okay, awesome.
Yeah, I'll be competing in the Tampa Pro again. But my first show, I'm going to do Norfolk.
Okay.
Norfolk Pro. That's one of Linda Murray's show, Wings of Strength. Doing that in 11 weeks, July 17th. So we're working really hard to try to
get you ready
win
for that
one.
Yeah.
Yeah, win that one. And then maybe Chicago if I don't win. And I have to do Tampa. That's like the show of the year. I got to do that one.
Yeah, I mean, I'm like, as far as the popularity of shows go, is that kind of on the level like Tampa Pro is up there with like the Arnold kind, or it's you do Tampa and then you get to go to the Arnold, right?
No, Willie, the Arnold is an entity in itself. Like, okay. Our shows are broken down into tiers.
Okay.
And there's only two shows in tier one.
Okay.
Which would be Arnold Classic and the Rising Phoenix, and then every other show is underneath that. The Tampa Pro is considered a tier two show. You can earn a lot of points.
Oh.
The popularity of the shows is based on how many points you can earn to get to the Olympia. You can earn a lot of points at the Tampa Pro, and it's great to be a Tim Gardner, who is the producer of that show.
Okay,
he does such a phenomenal job. It's a great show to do. It's fun, exciting. It's staged, it's televised.
Yeah.
It's just an exciting show.
It's big too. I mean, shoot, it's in, you know, you see it in magazines, you see it advertised everywhere Tampa Pro is a big deal too. I love it.
Yeah, it's a big deal.
Yeah. Do you think bodybuilding or like prep has changed to some degree from back in the day to now? Do you feel as though there's a difference to it, or is it ultimately the same thing?
No, I definitely think it's different.
Okay.
The main reason it's different, you have a different type of competitor now.
Yes,
bodybuilding,
big time.
You know, a couple of years ago when I started, I had no idea there were so many divisions.
Okay.
There's so many different divisions that people can compete in now, which is making it a little bit more popular.
Yeah.
And now you have, you know, kids who ran track, who maybe couldn't turn pro, gymnasts. You have a lot of gymnasts, a lot of ex powerlifters, football players at the end of their career, or they can't go any further. Now they're choosing bodybuilding. So now that's why you see these better structured physiques now getting on stage, because they're coming from another sport.
So I've been told this by so many people. It's funny that you said that, because I was told the same thing by, I don't know, some other trainer I was talking to, and they were saying the same thing, that you're getting a lot of people coming from athletic fields going into bodybuilding as sort of like the fallback sport. Like it's something that keeps them on the path, but it's different, you know, it's a different goal to work towards, essentially.
Yes, exactly.
I think that's amazing. Do you feel as though, so the bodies have definitely changed in appearance and physique, you think?
Oh, absolutely. Okay. I think that, the conditioning is better.
Okay.
The conditioning is definitely better. Like I said, these people are coming from another sport.
Sure.
A little bit more muscle development. Even the posing is different now. You know, people aren't just going through the motions. The posing is more like art now and presentations. The sport just, every year I just see something. It just keeps evolving and evolving and evolving, which is exciting. Very exciting.
Yeah, and more and more people. Do you think there a lot more people are doing the masters division, kind of trying to do a show, you know, later in life a little bit?
You see it a lot in amateur, definitely. Definitely in the amateur. The on the pro level, we're getting more masters shows.
Okay.
We didn't have as many a couple of years ago, but I'm noticing every year they're adding a couple of more and a couple of more. So I'm hoping that they bring the Masters Olympia back.
Yes, that'd be cool.
so that would be fantastic. But on a pro level, it's slow.
Yeah.
But on an amateur level, Masters is huge. It's huge.
But it's interesting. Like I would much rather watch the Masters category, because shoot, I mean, it's show, but for real though, like it's unbelievably impressive what you guys have achieved. Like it's no joke, you know, it's, you can, you know, achieve a semi-decent body when you're younger and like your mid twenties or whatever. But you know, if you have stuck to it and continued with that fit lifestyle, I mean, I'm here in Louisiana, and for real, it's not like we're up there as like one of the most obese states. So it's very cool to see that progression and what keeps you going, you know, through fitness and maintaining that.
Yeah, so. I'm originally from Ohio, Ohio, PA area.
Yeah.
Where bodybuilding is huge. And is. People always think of Florida and California. I'm like, no, you come to the Midwest, that New York, PA area, Ohio, we have shows like every week.
I mean, you got the New York Pro, like that's a gigantic show.
The New York Pro, the Pittsburgh Pro, both the New York Pro and the Pittsburgh Pro, both of those are tier two shows.
Tier
two, and also Masters. They have a Masters show too, a Masters Pro show. Gary Yuta does every July. So yeah.
Oh, wow, how many shows have you done in total? Like, when did you start competing? if you can count that many.
Yeah, I think this is 26.
That's
going to be my 26th time stepping on stage. I actually started competing when I was training, when I was 44 years old. And I stepped on stage maybe 42. I think it was 44 the first time I stepped on stage.
Okay.
I do have an athletic background. I ran some track.
Okay.
I always lift weights, had a personal trainer. But I actually started bodybuilding because I went to the doctor and my cholesterol was almost 280.
Really?
And,
oh, wow.
Yeah. I could like run 5 miles, lift weights, and then go eat a pack of hot dogs and drink a 2-liter pop.
Which I don't know. I don't see that as bad. That sounds like fun.
Right.
I don't mind that.
Everybody out.
Yeah.
I'm thinking, you know, I'll exercise a bad diet, and it caught up to me. And I showed up at the gym one day, and my trainer had double booked himself, and he said, "Dion, I'm sorry. I want you to go work out with that little girl over there." And I remember her name was Alyssa. She was 20 years old.
Oh, wow.
And he said, "I want you to go do legs with her, you know." And I'm all cocky, like, whatever. I'll go work this little girl.
Yeah.
I think maybe 8 minutes into the workout, I was probably going into cardiac arrest. My pride would let me stop. And it was the worst leg workout of my life.
Yeah.
And she... and she was a bikini competitor.
Oh my gosh, yeah.
She was the one who told me, "You should think about bodybuilding." And she said, "You know, you have to eat clean," which is something my doctors had been telling me to do, but I was ignoring.
Okay.
And I started just to try to manage a chronic disease. And I hired her coach. Exactly 92 days later, I stepped on stage and won my first overall, and I was hooked.
92 days later. Really?
92.
Oh my gosh, that's quick. Jeez, that's incredible. Yeah.
I mean, I was in good shape. My eating was just horrible. It's horrible.
But that's kind of cool though, that you were able to like find the problem, you know, it's at least you knew where it was. And so you use that as a way to get ready. And your division that you do now, are you in the bodybuilding division? Are you in figure?
I am in the figure division.
Figure division. Okay.
If I'm in figure. Yes. But, even though I'm 50, mm-hmm. I'll be 51 in May. I do compete in the open division.
I'll just say, I looked at your Instagram. You look like you're like in your, you're 40. I don't know. I'm just letting you know. Like you're very, fitness has worked well for you. So you're fine.
It is the problem of youth. It really is.
Yeah. Is that kind of the basis of your training program? Cause it's Fit Nation, right?
It is. It's two companies, actually. It's a DJ's Fit Nation. That's my personal training studio and weight management clients. I was a weight management consultant before I was a personal trainer and coach. And Fit Nation is my online clients and my competition prep. Mm-hmm. But probably 70% of my clients are over 40.
Okay.
Yep, over 40 bodybuilders. I have males and females, more females, but I think definitely they see me and they're like, okay, if D can do it, you know, I can do it, and you can. I mean, you've been to bodybuilding competitions and you've seen 70-year-olds step on stage that are just jaw dropping. Like, are you serious? Yeah.
It's amazing. Yeah. It really is. And I would even argue that those bodies are more impressive, you know, just because you know the work that went into that, you know how absolutely. The consistency that preceded that. So,
absolutely. And you said about masters before. I mean, these are people who have a lot of mature muscle.
Yeah.
And you can tell the muscle bellies are thicker. They're more developed. Mm-hmm. It's just that masters is just, from a product perspective, is just not as marketable.
Yeah,
but
that's true.
I think that, you know, people like myself, I'm trying to change that, where it's bodybuilding is for everyone. There's a new division that you're going to see start coming out soon. Some smaller venues have already done it. Some of them are calling it the transformation division.
Really?
And these are people. Yeah, these are people who step on stage who may not be. Now, let me backtrack by saying anybody can bodybuild. I mean, really, it's not restricted to anybody. It's just that how far do you want to go with it?
Okay.
But these are like individuals who maybe they lost a lot of weight.
Yeah.
I mean, you got somebody who lost 150 pounds and gets on stage. I mean, that's the real MVP against this girl who's like been fit her whole life.
Yeah.
And as far as she gets on stage and, you know, you may have a little bit more loose skin. You know, not what some people consider stage ready, but their accomplishment is just as great.
So
it's something that we're trying to do.
I love that because it gives people who achieved any kind of weight loss goal a platform. So, I mean, it gives them it gives them the limelight for a second. I love that.
Absolutely.
Yeah, that's so cool. And with as far as the training goes, just this is my question I have. How does it differ from somebody who might be younger, like in their 20s? Is the process a little bit different from like a dieting approach, or is it pretty much the same? Okay.
No, it's different.
It's different. It's good. It's good to know, because a part of me is like, you know, it's still probably hard as hell, because you got to stick to it, and it's a diet, and it's, you know, intense and everything. But yeah, how does it differ?
Well, I have arthritis, some injuries.
Okay.
Just from lifting for so long.
Yeah.
So instead of like, I could squat, I don't know, maybe 280 was my max, but now I don't squat at all.
Okay.
I just train with more high intensity with very, very little rest. My average leg day with my coach, I'll burn, if I train with him for 45 minutes, I burn over 400 calories. So it's pretty intense. It's still heavy, but it's just back to back to back intensity. So I do have to train differently, I'm going to get hurt. I'm not going to be able to do it anymore. My body won't let me do it anymore. Can I still be competitive? Yeah, I just have to train a little bit differently. And muscle, isolating every little muscle is important.
Sure.
Since I've gotten older, I competed older older age, I don't have the size that some of the other girls have on stage. So my advantage is I always get on stage conditioned.
Okay.
I'm going to be conditioned from head to toe.
I love that.
So that's my thing. And then I have a really good structure and shape. So what one girl may not have in biceps, I'll pick it up in shoulders. What she doesn't have in shoulders, I may pick it up in triceps. So to answer your question, yes, my training is different. I have to train smarter and not harder.
But to your credit, though, you know, with the intensity that you train, there's so many people, you know, in my age range that don't work out with that intensity, though. That's a funny thing. You know, if you had a younger person training legs, generally it could be like an hour and a half workout. So it would be like a lot of long rest and, you know, maybe heavy weights here and there, but it's different though. I like the idea of not resting a lot.
I used to do that.
And I think it's brutal. Like it really is. It's a hard thing to do. It's not easy.
It's a hard workout. Usually when I first meet someone, I interview them and they want to, you know, come and prep with us.
Yeah.
I do tell them, like, you know, it's training and it's not the same.
Yeah.
It's totally different. And if you don't have a high pain threshold, if it starts burning and you stop, mm-hmm. this is probably not the sport for you.
Yeah. It's honesty.
Yeah, you have to love it, because really the training or the exercise really doesn't start until it starts burning, and it better start burning and hurting halfway through the set or it's not heavy enough.
Wow. Yeah, and I mean you're right about that. Like that's exactly how it's meant to be. So, mm-hmm. and like that intensity, the burning sensation and all that stuff. So, is that, when it comes to what's your split right now with working out? What are you doing currently for yourself?
Well, right now, I have 3 leg days.
Okay.
But I do break it up. Mondays, we typically do quads with abs.
Okay.
And on Tuesdays, we do back, some buys. Wednesdays, I like to like take that off. Do like dedicated cardio that day.
Okay.
Not a whole lot of cardio. I don't need it. Thursdays, hamstrings. I'll do like my posterior chain on Thursdays.
Nice.
Friday, shoulders, triceps, and chest. And then Saturday is glute day. You know, ladies, we got to hit the glutes.
Guys need the glutes. I need the glutes. So it's okay. I was thinking that the other day. I was like, you know, I need some of this. Me and my buddies need to work on our glutes a little bit. So yeah, it's because it's disappointing on my end. But I like the training legs multiple times a week. I know it's I think anybody should do that. Even if, God, even if they have like good legs, I still think it's important to just keep training.
Oh, absolutely. In bodybuilding, we say that's what separates the boys from the men is the legs, not the chest. It really is the legs. Now, this all changes, of course, as I get closer to the stage. Mm-hmm. I start hitting some things that weaknesses or things I want to bring up. Like right now, we want to create a little bit more width with me by building my shoulders out a little bit more if we can. So now I hit my shoulders twice a week.
Okay. So it's kind of, as far as like the illusion goes though, of creating that taper, you have a pretty good like back width, or do you have to focus? Is it like really it's putting more of the focus on the shoulders so you can compensate? Or is it
definitely shoulders to compensate? My back is pretty thick. I mean, we did a really good job last year with my back. So now we're going to do shoulders, and then just making, and the posing is everything too. Just making sure that those quarter turns that I do, those side turns, there's a really sharp, hard turn. So my waist looks really, really small.
Wow.
That's one thing that a lot of bodybuilders take for granted. I mean, all division is the posing. And I tell people it takes about 3 months to really learn how to pose. It's not just positioning of the body. It's flexing the muscle, muscle mind connection, showing your personality. And, you know, it's really sad to really have a great physique, do all that hard work, and then you can't show it off. But we see it all the time.
It's when you say that, I know what you mean, because I've watched videos of, you know, really professional seasoned bodybuilders, and they can flex like each individual muscle of their quad.
Yeah.
Because they have such an insane amount of body control. And I didn't even, it blew my mind, because I'm like, oh, wow. Like this is what they train for. Like they literally are so good at posing that they can pick out individual muscles and only flex those muscles. I was like, wow, it's
you know, and what people don't realize too is that if you don't practice posing, when you're on stage, you are dehydrated.
Yeah,
you feel are like crap. Extremely weak and very tired. So it takes a lot of energy holding your abs in. We're not smiling, we're actually breathing through our teeth, so that makes sure your abs. Yeah, seriously, you breathe through your teeth because it makes your abs suck in even more, because you can't hold your breath. So it's a workout in itself. You know, so if you ever watch like men's bodybuilding, you'll notice like some of the guys will continue to get harder and better and better and drier sometimes as they're posing. So, you know, it's that important.
That's cool. Well, I'll keep an eye out for that now, because now I'm curious. Yeah. Yeah, I knew you could change like dryness from a morning show to a night show, but I had no idea it was that minute. Like you could actually see that for certain people.
Oh, you can. Because sometimes you'll see if they have a lot of water on them, you see them like really sweating, you know, start maybe sometimes get flat, or sometimes that water starts coming out and they actually start looking better.
That's insane.
So it just all depends. The body's gonna do what it wants to do sometimes.
I did a couple shows like with the NPC, just a bucket list thing. I did a couple, and I think there was, I don't know, you get a kick out of this. There was one guy who forgot that there was a night show, so he showed.
Oh, no.
Yeah, it was a tragic thing. And I mean, he looked great, don't get me wrong, but he showed up and he talked to me and he was like, dude, I forgot there was a night show. I started eating brownies and stuff. And I'm like, oh no. So, and we were both, it was like my first time, it was his first time. So we're just there to have fun, you know, just like, all right, it's a cool thing. And I just remember that to this day. I thought it was so funny. And we laughed about it, you know. It's like, yeah, sorry, man. So, yeah, you could tell he had like a little pudge, like a little, you know, pooch going on.
Oh, yeah.
So,
he spilled over.
Yeah, he spilled over a little bit, but it was funny. I got a kick out of that. So, oh, yeah.